I want to greet each one in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Thankful to be here with you this morning and worship with you. Challenged already in the service. Bring greetings from the Golden Hills congregation also. I want to think a little bit this morning about thankfulness. It's kind of the season for that, although that season, that season just never runs out for the Christian. We're in the season of thankfulness year-round. But it is good for us to think about that sometimes, especially about Thanksgiving. At home in the town of Angels Camp, there's a church that has a sign out by the road, and I like the different sayings that they put on there a lot of times. And they had this saying on there over this season. Start the day with gratitude and end it with thanksgiving. That's something that we should think about. We should start it with gratitude and end it with thanksgiving. Maybe sometimes in the morning we wake up and we feel refreshed and maybe we feel a little more thankful, and then by the evening we're so wore out that we can't think of anything to be thankful for. But it's good for us to recognize God in our lives. Does God know us as the most thankful people that walk the face of the earth? We should be. Someone has said that a thankful person, a person that is truly thankful, will never depart from the faith. I think there's a lot of truth to that. If we are truly thankful to God, how can we be really truly thankful to God and go away from Him? I don't think we could do that. So someone that is truly thankful, it's one of the key components to Christian life. I'd like to read a couple of verses in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 11 and 12. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Bring out here in these two verses the fact that thankfulness is not determined, or it doesn't wait until everything is going real good in our life. It tells us here that we need to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. In other words, use the strength of God instead of our own. And it talks about patience and long-suffering. That word long-suffering simply means that we suffer long. But in the midst of that, it says with joyfulness. And joyfulness is a part of thanksgiving, giving thanks unto the Father. How thankful are you this morning that God has made a way that you can be his child? Is that something that we begin to focus on our faithfulness, the things that we have done, that's the reason that we're his child? And we need to be careful about that, but while that's important, that we are faithful, that's our commitment to God. But let's not be like the Pharisee that was there. Remember that story about the Pharisee and the publican. He said, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. And he went, listed some things that he felt like he wasn't guilty of. That Pharisee was a self-made Christian. Well, there isn't such a thing, but that's what he thought he was. Of course, that was before the birth of the church, but he was a good man. He was a self-made good man. He thanked God, but did he really? No, he didn't. He was thanking himself. He wasn't really what you would call a thankful person. But rather the publican, he cried out to God in his deplorable situation that he realized that God was the one that was what he needed, and he appreciated God's mercifulness. He realized that that was the only way that he could be saved. And you know, I suppose if we found ourselves in a situation where there was no way that we could pay our bills, we had hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt, and somebody just simply forgave all that, would we appreciate that person? Or would we be unthankful and forget him? Well, that's an earthly example, but, you know, when we really think about how much we need to be thankful for God for delivering us from eternal fire. It's good for us to think about that, actually what we have been delivered from. We haven't only been delivered from sin, but we have been delivered eternally. And if you stop and ponder about that thought, this verse here, it says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's talking about here, but it's also talking about over there, that we can be partakers of the inheritance of Christ. That's, when we think about thanksgiving, that's part of those thoughts. There's a lot of other things that God has given us that we can be thankful for, we should be thankful for. But, you know, that is really the real thing that we need to be thankful for to the Father for, that we can be partake in the inheritance that God is going to give to all those who love him. And verse 13 then goes on and says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There is the thinking about thanksgiving. many people observe the Thanksgiving thing, but they're not God conscious. Are we God conscious in our thankfulness? And it's good for us to think about beyond our salvation, all the good things that God has given to us. But especially this promise of that we could be partakers of his inheritance. It says that delivered us from the power of darkness. That includes this life that, you know, Satan is limited in his, God limits him, or he puts a hedge around the Christian so that Satan cannot go but so far. We believe that God has a very active part in that as we commit to Him. But it also means that the power of darkness, if we do not believe in Jesus Christ, the power of darkness has the ability, has the power to retain us for eternity, the power over us in eternity. And that's the redemption, that's the things that God will deliver us if we simply believe in Him, accept His redemption, and live for Him. We have this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It is God's will that we are thankful. There it says, "In everything give thanks." In that verse it doesn't say give thanks for everything. In this verse here, it talks about long suffering with joyfulness. I think that's the same thought there, that there's some things that we suffer or can. We may have go through some very hard tests, maybe through some very hard distresses. Apostle Paul said that he glories in infirmities. Maybe that's another aspect of that. But I'll have to admit that I don't like some of those things. I don't know. I'm not sure any of us do like some of the tests that come. But can we still maintain our thankfulness to God, our joyfulness, because of what He has done for us? It says that, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, giving thanks." I think the Christian, someone said one time that God's people, whatever they face, they can always think about somebody that has something worse than them. That is the result of a thankful people, that, you know, we might face some very distressful things, and yet we can think of other people that faced worse than that, and they remained faithful. And that's a result of thankfulness. When we can do that. Thankfulness for thinking again about salvation. Our thankfulness toward God for redemption. Basically determines the value that we put on that. Do you thank God every day for salvation? Maybe we can think back to when we gave our heart to the Lord, and you know, we were so thankful for that gift that He forgave us. And then we go on in life and the humdrum of life, and life goes on and we tend to forget. Do we thank God every day for His gift and the gift and promise of heaven? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I understand that in heaven there's going to be a lot of praise and talk. Well, a lot of things done in connection with our salvation. And where I get that thought is in Ephesians, where it tells us that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. I'm not exactly sure what all that scripture means, other than it seems to me like in eternity, in the ages to come, that subject will never be closed. It's such a great thing. And is it great in our hearts? The attitude of thankfulness in remembering. The Bible does that, talks about stirring up our minds in remembering. A thankful person will never forget that he has been forgiven. Sometimes we need them reminders that we need to again establish that thankfulness in our life. Jesus said that, I forget this exactly where this was, this person, but wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Is that our attitude that, you know, we're not as bad as some other people. Other people have fallen into gross sins and so forth, and we're not quite that bad, and so our thankfulness doesn't run as deep as it ought to, because that's how we feel about ourselves. Maybe we're a little closer to the attitude of the Pharisee than we think. Well, we'll have to come back to the fact that my sin, it would take, if God does not forgive my sin, it will take me to the same place that the grossest of sinner will go. And so we need to love much, because we have been forgiven much. Again, it says in verse 14 of Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's only one way. Another thing that we can be thankful for is we have a godly heritage. This was a real threat in the life of the children of Israel, and Deuteronomy tells us that when you have houses that you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant and on, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. How easy is it for us to shift our focus off of God onto the things that we have? Does God look on our lives with a sad face while we enjoy all the good things of life and somehow God is on the sideline? It's a danger of every generation that can happen. We need to make sure that it's not a earmark of our generation. Most of us, maybe all of us, have riches, material riches beyond, I'm not sure what the statistics are, 90 to 95% of the world population. Is it a threat to us? God specifically told the children of Israel, beware. I think we could say that it is a threat to us, that we need to beware, that we don't put God on the sideline, but God in the center. There's many things that have been given to us that we take for granted. Our schools has been something that in time past people worked and sacrificed very greatly for. Sound literature. There's just many things like that, that sound teaching that have been given to us that we need to thank God for, that that those things have been provided for us, and not forget the value of them. The other thing is that we can tend to forget is because of the religious freedom that we have in this country, there have been many exemptions that have been exercised to the Christian, to the two conservative-minded people, biblical-minded people. Whatever it is, insurance exemptions and Social Security and so forth, medical insurance. We have a mentality that those things are owed to us. We expect them. And when something else comes up that's going to be law in our country, we automatically expect that somehow this thing's going to get worked out, that we're going to have an exemption. And maybe, sure enough, it does happen. And we almost become the fact that it makes us lazy because we don't really have to work for these things, and it doesn't really, maybe our convictions are lazy. But also our thanksgiving is. We don't appreciate it like we ought to. Maybe sometimes even we see the financial advantages it is to live a godly life. Is that our drive, or is that our focus, or is our focus in pleasing God? Pleasing God with our life, and thanks to God for His blessings. And I guess I'm inspired by this reading a little bit about the first Thanksgiving, I guess you could say, in this country. Maybe it wasn't the first, but when the settlers came over. And some of the things that they faced when they landed here, the Plymouth colony, in 1620, at this deserted Indian village that they found. And the first winter that they were there, the winter was very harsh. And I suppose just landing there, they really didn't have the supplies and everything that, because they had on a voyage clear over there and took a lot of time. Anyway, about half of them died. I don't know the number of them, but about half of them died. And after that winter, there was some Indians that helped them to plant some native crops there, and they also did plant some seeds that they had brought over from Europe, I think it was, yeah. European peas and wheat and barley. And they had this harvest, and they decided to have a time that they would give thanks to God for the survival of this colony and the first harvest. It's kind of commendable that they would take time to do that. After losing half of their, what would happen if we would suddenly, you know, one winter we would lose half of our people. Half of our people would die. And then You know, these people had every reason to, as we'd say, to complain because of their loss. But they gathered their people together for a Thanksgiving time, and they invited this Indian back, that Indian chief that came, that helped them plant this crop. They invited them, and I think he brought 90 people along with them and contributed to the feast. I think it was 5 deer. And they had a time of thankfulness, giving thanks to God. Does our time of, you know, we get together as family sometimes and have this time of Thanksgiving. Does our focus talk about everyday things and family and so forth? Does it include God? Or is God shoved to the sideline? Well, we're thankful that for a nation that does have a day that is set aside for Thanksgiving. However, we know that God is not in the thoughts of most people. But let that not be us. Attitudes of thankfulness helps build us up one another, helps build Christian homes, helps build relationships toward each other. Thanksgiving and our love for others is not like it ought to be unless it is warmed with thanksgiving. There's things that help us when we're thankful. Colossians 4 verse 2 talks about giving thanks, watching. Thankfulness helps us to watch. If we're not thankful for salvation, we won't watch for the return of the Lord. We won't watch for the enemy. Acts 28 verse 15, Paul, the brethren came to Paul and he gave thanks and received courage, took courage. Thankfulness brings courage. 1 Peter 2 verse 19 talks about thankfulness will help us endure hardships and mistreatment. It gives strength for that. Thankfulness gives strength for that. Philippians 4 verse 6 talks about thankfulness enabling our requests to be made known unto God. When we come to God, do we come with a complaining spirit? Is the complaining spirit the vehicle that takes our prayers to God? Or is it the thankful attitude that we have the vehicle that takes it to God? I don't think the complaining spirit actually will be able to do it. But thanksgiving will help take our request to God. We have a lot to be thankful for. We sing that song sometimes, Count Your Many Blessings. Have you ever done that? How long would the list get if you did? I'm not sure if we'd ever get done, because in heaven we won't ever get done talking about the things that we can be thankful for here as God's people. May God help us to be a thankful people. We have so much to be thankful for because of Jesus Christ, and then we have so much to be thankful for God's goodness and mercy to us in this land of plenty. It seems like the more people have, the less they're thankful. And let's not let that be our portion, but rather recognize that it's of God's goodness, and he didn't owe us this, but it's of God's goodness that he gave it to us. May God bless you as you continue to live your life each day, beginning it with gratitude and ending it with thankfulness. Let's pray.